The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
Good morning. It's good to see you all out this morning. I want to welcome you to Hope Hill Church. If you're visiting, we want to say a special welcome to you. I'd love to get to know you better, but it's going to be really hard to make that happen on a Sunday morning. If you want to learn more about our children's ministry, our student ministry, our Bible studies going on in homes around the neighborhoods, our local outreach and missions projects abroad as well, anything. One of the key things is, as a pastor, I love meeting you and having time to get to know you. I'm willing to come to your place of employment. If you have a lunch break, we can grab coffee or a bite to eat. I can meet with you in the afternoons or mornings, anytime, through the week. I'd love to catch up with you. We want to connect with you, and we want to help you get connected and discover if this church is supposed to be your church family, and let's take a step together to figure that out. So we started this brand new series called Love Story. February is the love month, okay? Valentine's Day, it's the month 5 years ago that we launched this new chapter in God's love story. God's love story has been being written since before the beginning of our time. Before you and I were created, God was love. And God had a plan that he would build a people and that he would pour out his love to reach them. And this love story is continuing to be written in the hearts of and lives of you and I. So as we continue this journey that God has us on of sharing his love with this world, His love is being written on your heart and mine. Through this month, we're going to look at some love stories, if you will. Last week, if you missed Sonia's story, we're going to have it loaded on the internet soon. A powerful story of how God's love moving through you all. What are you? Who are you? You are the church, exactly. The church is not a building. It's not just what we do on Sundays. Church is not something we do. It's not an organization. The church is you and I. I'm the church, you're the church, we're the church together, and God's love story is to be written through the church. And so Sonia, over the last several years, has felt the love of Christ through many different individuals. Last week we had her story told, and a lot of you were a part of that story and continue to be. And today we're going to see another love story told. But before we move forward, we want to look back to where does this all come from? Acts chapter 2, if you want to open up your Bibles, is where we're going to camp out a little bit this morning. I know you might be thinking, wow, you guys talk about Acts 2 a lot. We do, because it's the foundation of who we are. It's the beginning and birth of the church. Acts chapter 2. So what's happening is just over 2,000 years ago, Jesus was here. Jesus, being God in flesh, spent 33 years of his life on this earth for one purpose, to share his love with us. He shared his love with us. No greater act of love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus took a step further, and while we were his enemies, while we were sinners, Christ spread his arms and said, "This is how much I love you," as he gave up his life in our place on a cross. And anyone who would believe in him and receive his gift of salvation, receive his forgiveness, he would pour his love into their lives. And that is the birth of the church, is you and I being transformed by an all-loving, all-powerful, all-knowing God, placing his spirit inside of us. A lot of times we think of the church as God's home. It's where God lives. I remember many times being brought to church by my parents, and they were like, "Okay, we're about to go into church. Put on your best behavior." I just want to say, Mom and Dad, that's theologically incorrect. Okay? The church is not a building. The church is you and I. It's who we are. And so if you got to be on your best behavior when you go to church, guess what? You're always at church because you're the church. So always be on your best behavior, not just when you go in some building. And regardless of that, God sent his son. And while Jesus was on the earth, he said, "Okay," as he poured his life into his followers, not just the 12, but there was hundreds of people who were disciples of Jesus. And as he said, "As I'm leaving, I'm passing the baton on to you to continue the mission, to continue the race that set out before us. There is a passion and a plan unfolding, and now it's your job. And you and I here today now have that baton in our hands to be the love story of Jesus, to allow him to write his love on our hearts and through our lives to reach other people. And he said, you can't do it on your own. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he said, you got to wait. I know that I've been with you for 3 years. I'm getting ready to leave. I'm leaving you behind to be my what? To be my what? Witnesses. I want you to go into all the world and share the love and hope with everyone. But before you do so, you're going to need the Holy Spirit. You're going to need the power from God to be my witnesses. And he said, the power will come and you will receive the power to be my witnesses. Acts chapter 2 is where this happens. It's the birth of the church. So any new church, 5-year-old church, 145-year-old church, which is what First Baptist is, who sent us out and helped us get on our a good standing. No matter how old you are as a church, we should all look back to the first church, the beginning of the church, because we're all one church. It's Christ's body, and he's calling us all to the same mission, and the same ingredients needed to be successful then are what we need now. And so in order for us to be effective in sharing God's love story, we have to continually look back at Jesus, look back at the foundation of the church, and follow in those same footsteps. Now, Pentecost is a festival that was happening. It was 50 days after Christ had died on the cross. Jews would come together after the celebration of Passover, and they would come together for this huge festival. It was one of the biggest festivals of the year. Jews from all nations, whether Jews by birth or converts to become Jews, would travel to Jerusalem for this festival of Pentecost. And a lot of other non-believing Jews would be there as well because, you know, let's face it, it was a great opportunity to buy and sell and set up markets. And so many people were in town. It was a good time of year to make a buck. And so people from all over the place traveled to be there for the celebration of Pentecost. And this was the time and season where God said, I'm starting the church. I'm going to birth this movement. I'm going to build the church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And so, Acts chapter 2, let's go. Verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. There was about 120 of them there at this time. Men and women, people who had followed Jesus and were just praying and seeking him and waiting for the power of the Holy Spirit to come so they could be his witnesses. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were what? Filled. I want you, if you have a Bible, circle that word. They were filled with what? The Holy Spirit. And they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Verse 5. Now, there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. So this was a big day, a big season. People traveled from all over the place. Look at some of the places they came from. Look at verse 9. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia. Goes on Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, parts of Libya, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans, Arabs. They were all there and they all spoke their own tongue. So what begins to unfold is really powerful. All these people from different tribes, different languages, different nations are all gathered together in this one place. God sends the power of the Holy Spirit. All these followers of Jesus, their hearts are filled, and they get up and they start declaring the truth of God. Peter gets up, and he goes outside, and he just starts telling the truth. Guys, you need to know about Jesus. He loves you so much. He came. He was all the prophets who talked about the coming of the Messiah in the Old Testament. The Messiah has come. His name is Jesus. And he went on and told the wonderful, loving, saving, life-transforming gospel of Jesus. And the miraculous thing that happened on this day is that even though Peter was speaking just one language, these people from all these different languages were all hearing his voice and understanding what he was saying. They were looking at each other. How is it you understand what he's saying? And I didn't know he knew my language, and I'm hearing him. And tons of people were hearing these words. It was a miracle of God, the power of the Spirit of God, transforming those words so that they were reaching the hearts of the people who were there. Now there were some in the crowd as well who heard only gibberish. They did not hear this transformational speech. They didn't hear the loving gospel. And they looked at each other and said, "Why is he babbling? He must be drunk." To which Peter replied, said, "No, it's only 9 a.m. I'm not drunk yet. Read it. It's there. I'm not lying." This was the unfolding and the birthing of the first church. Of the only church, the one church. There is one church, there is one vision, there is one mission, and it's for all of us. These people from all these tribes, all these places, were being brought together and knit together into the beautiful thing that is the body of Christ. Us, the church. 5 years ago, when God laid on our heart to take this step of faith and begin a new part of the body of Christ, to plant Hope Hill Church, it was a step of faith, but Brandy and I and our family, our daughters, we just felt like it was time, like God was leading us to do this. Now, in our minds, we had no idea that our church would look like it does today. In fact, we were very surprised that within 3-4 months, we had people coming to Hope Hill Church that didn't even speak English. What do we do with this? You know, recently, Washington, D.C. has become number one for the diversity of nations in one place. There are more nations and people groups represented in the Washington, D.C. area than anywhere else in the world now. We just took the number one spot. God is sending people from all tribes, all nations, here, surrounding us. As we sought out to plant Hope Hill Church, God put in our heart, of course, to be outward focused, to not build a building one day. That's not our focus. Now, buildings will eventually come. This building is a great tool for what God has us to do, to be prepared to go out and be the church outside of these walls. But our focus wasn't, you know, we'll become a real church one day when we can put a steeple up. That God began the church ages ago. And as we were assembling in our living room and 14 people gave their heart to Christ, we hadn't even begun as a church yet. We drove down to Lake Montclair and had our first baptism, and God has been transforming lives ever since. But what surprised us is the fact that we would need this fish tank in the back of the room. Everybody wave to Anna. Or is that Maria? It's Anna. Okay, she's way. Everybody see her? You're like, what is she doing in that box? It's kind of weird, isn't it? Yeah. Well, that box was made because so many of you were writing saying, why do people always talk in your service? So now we can't hear her. But what she's doing is she's translating into Spanish everything I'm saying. And so let's have a hand for Anna. In the early days, what was happening is we were going out and being the hands and feet of Jesus in our community as they did in the beginning. Look at verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking bread, and to prayer. So a lot of that sounds like churchy stuff. We fellowship with each other, right? That's what Christians call friendship, fellowship. Did you know that? So they were doing all this churchy stuff, but where were they doing it? Not just in temples. It says everyone was filled with awe, and many wondrous signs were being performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and they had everything in common. They were selling their property and their possessions and giving to those who were in need. Every day they continued to meet together, not just one day a week, but every day they were meeting in the temple, yeah, but also where? In their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, and they were praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So in the early days, we were like, we're gonna go ahead and not meet to have a church service next Sunday. Instead, we're gonna go serve next Sunday. And so from the first year, we would we intentionally, in coming in May, we're gonna close the doors here on a Sunday morning, and we're gonna go be the church outside in an area of high need and do another free sale. And this is what God was leading us to do and continues to lead us to do, to be His hands and His feet, having hearts of compassion that move us to action and going out and making a difference in the lives of those around us. And so these families were like, okay, we're gonna see if you're really serious. And they started coming to our services. And in the early days, we had, how many of you are bilingual? Raise your hand if you can speak Spanish and English. Actually, stand up if you can speak Spanish and English. Go ahead. Come on. Okay, that's a lot of you. We need all of you. You can sit back down. Okay, what I'm really sad about is that you weren't in the room with us in December when Daddy L was preaching to a room full of Spanish-speaking individuals, and 32 of them came forward to pray to receive Christ. We need to be ready. Those of you who are bilingual, we need you on our prayer teams. We need you ready to welcome these individuals and to help them grow and take next steps with Christ. We'll get into more of that later. But we need you. If you are bilingual in that way, God has brought you for a special reason, because He is building His church, not just of English-speaking white soccer moms and dads, which is what I am and what I thought I was building a church to reach, but God had a different plan, and He sent Spanish-speaking people to be a part of this congregation, and who knows what else He's preparing us for. But God was doing it this way from the beginning, drawing people from all tribes, all nations, all languages, and He enabled them to reach them. He gave them the gifts of the Holy Spirit so they could speak in their languages. He gave them the ability to love on each other and to care for each other. And this is what Hope Hill Church is all about. There is no difference, man or woman, Jew or Gentile, English or Spanish. There's no difference. We're all one in Christ. Christ calls us all to be a part of His body. And He gifts us all to be used by Him to reach others and to write this love story on other hearts that are waiting to receive His love. You and I are the church. Go ahead and look at the same guy who's been preaching this message, Peter. He wrote another book in the Bible. Actually, Luke wrote Acts. But if you turn to 1 Peter with me, chapter 2, towards the back of your Bible, 1 Peter chapter 2 says this. Verse 4. Peter says, as you come to Him, each and every one of you who have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and called on Him as Savior and Lord, as you come to Him, the living stone. In construction back then, the first stone placed, the cornerstone, the chief stone had to be set just right, because every other stone in the building would be built off that stone. Jesus is to be that cornerstone in our life. As we come to Him, that living stone, the stone that was rejected by humans, He was set by God, but we despised Him and rejected Him. That stone that was rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to Him. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual what? A spiritual house. We are the house of God. You are the church. I am the church. We are the church. We are the house of God. We are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Jump down to verse 9. But you're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have. And in turn, God now wants to use us, His house, to care for those around us. He has built us in Northern Virginia to be a house of worship, not just gather together for worship, but to worship Him in everything we do, to worship Him in how we care for the orphan and the widow, to worship Him the way we bring foster children into our homes, to worship Him to care for those neighbors who are so desperate in need, some emotionally in need, some spiritually in need, some just stricken with poverty. And God has put us here to be a house of hope. Not just gather together for an hour a week on a Sunday. This is how the world will come to know Him as our Father, as we learn to love one another. And we're not to be some organization that just serves the poor. There are tons of those in the world. There are tons of poor people meeting needs organizations. God has not called us to serve the poor. He's called us to live with them. He's called us to walk through life with them, to disciple them and allow them to disciple us and us live life together. And this can be messy. This can be difficult. This can be, God, I don't know how to meet my own family's needs. How am I supposed to meet the needs of another? As they simply devoted themselves to God's teaching, He took care of the rest. This is the kind of church, the kind of people that God is calling us to be, to bring this hope to the nations. And we can literally reach the nations right here in our backyard. Are you willing to answer this call? This is the church that God is calling us to be. This is the vision that He is calling us to fulfill. This little booklet was passed out last week. If you haven't got one, raise your hand. Our ushers will pass them out to you now. I want you to pray over this. I want you to read it, of course, first. Don't just pray over it, but read it. And I want you to pray through this and ask God to make this possible. He's already beginning to provide resources. Some of you have stepped forward and said, I want to buy the first Hope House. We have a vision to plant a home in areas of high need. We have 3 trailer parks we want to start with, and with over the next 10 years, we'd love to see 10 homes, townhouses, houses such as yours, you deciding, you know what, my house is my home, but it's God's house, and I want my house to be a Hope House where I can meet the needs of others for a time, for a season, for however long, God. What I have is from You, and I give it back to You. God, show me how I can bring hope through what You've blessed me with. This is our hope and our prayer. And that's just phase one. There's talk in there about hope centers. There's talk in there about communities of hope. There's a little video on Facebook. If you weren't here last week, you can go on and watch it and help us share it. Get the news out there because people are wanting to be a part of offering hope to others. God has a big vision. He's a big God. And when we submit our lives to Him and allow Him to move into our lives, He will blow us away. I want you to check out this video.
So we originally came from Cuba about 3 years ago. Once we came here, we were looking for a church because in Cuba, we were really, really involved with the Cuban church. And we wanted to find a church here that we could feel like family, just like the one we had been in Cuba. We wanted a church that was really looking to get fully involved in reaching out to a community and spreading the gospel. We didn't know about Hope Hill. We never even thought, right, that we would attend an English-speaking church. Is that right?
Never. Yeah.
Because we are Spanish speakers. But she was invited by a co-worker to come and visit, help set up one of the free cells organized by Hope Hill. And since we were even sending things down to local missionaries who are a friend of ours from Cuba. They invited us to come, and if there's anything you like, if there's anything they need, take it. It's all for free, and it would be amazing. And she came back so excited because of what she saw and how the church was really trying to do something for the community, and at the same time lift up the name of Christ. And we got a few things that we were able to send down, actually a few things for ourselves as people who had just came into the country. We of course needed almost everything, and she was very excited when she found a keyboard that she always dreamed of, yeah, of having in Cuba, and she never had the opportunity to. And she came back home with an amazing printer. She also told me what I loved the most was how people really felt like family. This is probably the church we are looking for. We've been looking for. Give it a try and visit it. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be interesting to attend an English-speaking church, but we should give it a try. So her friend again invited her to come to a service. We didn't have a car, we didn't drive, and she went and picked us up and she brought us here. And then we remember that first service like last week, right? Because it was so clear, so passionate to us. We remember Pastor
John. I was crying.
I remember you were crying. I was crying too. I remember. Not because someone hit us or punched us. because it was actually because Pastor John was talking about being compassionate and how Jesus was compassionate for the people around him, and that we are his hand and his feet, and we are supposed to do the same. So we loved it. It was a time of more questions for ourselves, more challenges. And we started getting involved with the church little by little. At the beginning, it was just more like exploring what could we do here. It's so different. And then we realized, oh, we could be like a bridge to the communities around us that don't speak English and several other things. Being able to help in other free cells, like in the last 2 years, has been amazing. Not just not coming to get things for ourselves, but also helping set everything up for the rest of the people who will be coming.
There was a point in our life when we don't have, I mean, we need to find a place to move. So we were praying about it, and I remember Darielle talked to John about it. He said, could you pray for us, because we really need a place and we don't have enough money, so it should be like a miracle. And then I remember John told him, you can move to my house. And he goes like, are you serious? And I remember too that I was talking with Brandy one day, and she said the same, like, you should move to our house. For me, it was amazing. Even though we were praying for that, at that moment when you hear someone say, you can move to my house, was something really
special.
Yeah. I remember Brandy say, we want to do this for, I mean,
in 10 days, 10 to 12,
like that.
10 to 12, I think.
And we say, okay, that sounds like it's going to be hard, but God was so good with us, and he sent us snow, so many people have to come and help us. They don't have to go to work or whatever. And it was amazing to see so many different people come in every day to help from Hope Hill, like saying, what do I have to do? And it was just amazing. And we ended up with some amazing place that we still live in. And my kids were just so happy. My mom. So it was
great.
Amazing. It was great.
Well, the fact that we have moved here, to me, it has sent a very loud message to the community, mainly Hispanic community around our church. Because now they realize these people are not just speaking kind and nice words. They really mean it. They're willing to go that extra mile and make sacrifices to make us feel welcome. And we've seen the results of that. That's why when we do all the jingle jam or Jesus' birthday parties, or what we want to call it, we see so many families here, and that's why many of them keep coming, and that's why we had so many in our Spanish community group, because for them it's become clear that they are welcome in Hope Hill. And at the same time, a huge blessing for me to be invited by Pastor John to sometimes even share God's word from the pulpit. I never thought I would be doing that. And I was really impressed that he really came to me and asked me to share God's word. I loved it, and it's been amazing to see how he can do what we cannot. And sometimes the responses of all that, it's something that I will never forget. It's something that it's really stuck with me. it's been a very humbling experience. I never thought I would be preaching in English to an English speaking church. I never thought of that, but God knew it. And we just love it. And then because of that, we have been able also to help other families who have been struggling. We've had some Spanish-speaking families, mainly Hispanic families, that have been struggling. And the church has reached out to them. We have been able to be instrumental in doing that. And the result is that they now want to come to church. They have surrendered their lives to Christ. Because for them, it's become clear that they are welcome in Hope Hill. This is a place where they're safe, they know they can come, be themselves, who they are, and they're still welcome. No matter where they come from or no matter who they're welcome, just like we have been welcome.
Dare the Land, should we come up real quick? Where are you? Is Gabby? Carlos? Yeah, come on up. Let's hear it for these guys one more time. Yes, and Lauren is actually, was your coworker back then who invited, them to come to the free sale and then would go get them before they could drive and bring them to church. So I just want us to take a moment to pray over them and what God is doing in their life. And God, of course, knew what He was doing in sending you here to help us pastor and shepherd other people. And I want to say thank you because there's no way I could do this alone. And because of many of you, we transformed an unfinished basement in 9 days into a 3-bedroom apartment. And many of you donated the appliances, washers and dryers. And now they have a place they call their own. And it's great sharing a house with you. So we love you guys. And any of you that want to come and just lay hands on them while I pray, come on up. I'm going to pray right now. God, we thank you for the way that you are building your church. God, it's such a privilege just to be a part of your love for us, to receive your love, God, but no blessing from you is ever intended just to be received. It's to be given again. So God, thank you for the way that you've blessed us so that we can be a blessing to others. Thank you for the way that you've brought Dariel and Delanus and Carlos and Gabby to this area so they can be a blessing to others. And we thank you for the fruit of their works already. And we thank you for the families in this church and individuals who are pouring into them and who are also seeing their lives transformed because of how they're being used in your hands as instruments, God. Thank you for building us as your church. In your name we pray. And we love you guys. This is the story that's being written, and God wants to write so much more. He wants to write it in your lives. He wants to write it in the lives of those who aren't even here yet. My question to you is this something you're open to? Is this something that you are wanting to be a part of? I've met with several of you at times, and you've shared with me that you believe in Christ. But there's this. You want to follow Christ, but there's this. And there are struggles. And the honest thing for all of us is that for each of us there are struggles. Myself included. There are things that I have in my life that trip me up, that keep me from always being able to run the race that God has called me to run. And there are things ahead of us as a church that God is calling us to do. And the last words from Peter's mouth, spoken back then on the day of the birth of the church, are so real for us today that we all need to hear these. He said this in Acts 2:38. He said, repent. Do you know that word? Repent. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Repent. Repentance means to turn from doing life your way, and instead of going this way, your own way, you say, okay, God, not only am I going to believe that you're there, not only am I going to believe that you saved me of my sins, not only am I going to believe that you can help me, I'm going to turn from doing life my way, and I'm going to turn to you, and I'm going to do it your way. Repent is more than just believing. The Bible says that even the devils believe, and yet they tremble. God doesn't just want a church full of people who believe, but people who will believe and receive. People who will repent and turn to God and say, God, I'm going to give up this because I know this is keeping me from doing or being who you want me to be or doing what you want me to do. And I don't know what that is in your life. But you know. And as the children of God, God is sending the Holy Spirit in our life, not just to be in us, but to fill us. And as we repent and turn from Him, it goes on to say, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. Sure, you've been forgiven. I met with one of you just this last week, and you say, I keep confessing, and I know I'm forgiven, but I keep doing, and I keep, well, it's time to stop doing, and just turn to Him. And yes, there are going to be times when you trip up. But as we turn to Him, we don't just repent, but we receive. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We cannot be the witnesses He's called us to be in Acts 1:8 unless we have the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We can't accomplish the mission and vision of Hope for Nova on our own. No matter how big our church grows to be, no matter how much money people are given, we can't do it apart from the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit wants to fill us, each and every one of us. Repent and receive. This promise is for you, for your children, and for those who are far off, for all whom the Lord God will call. Today, the call is going out to each and every one of us. The question is, what do we need to repent from? What do you and I need to turn from in order to fully embrace what He has for us, to go to whatever it is the next thing He's calling us to go to? My hope is as our band comes and as we prepare ourselves to take communion together, that we will have this time of listening to the Holy Spirit, to still our minds, to still our hearts, and to hear His voice. What is it that God is calling you to? Is He calling you to give up something because it's in the way of what He's calling you to? Is it to give up your heart for once? Maybe you've not taken that first step in realizing that you not only need to believe in Him as the one who died on the cross, but you need to receive Him as your Savior, as your Lord, and you need to receive Him as the one who's going to take control of your life. Maybe that's your first step this morning. I want you to not leave today without repenting and receiving. And so if God is working in your heart right now, even if it's clear, I mean, not clear, even if it's a little fuzzy, during our time of receiving communion, the first thing I want you to do is to pray. I want you to come and tap one of us on the shoulder and say, I need to repent. If you're not ready to say what it is you need to repent from, take that step of just saying, I know I need to repent. Will you pray for me? If you feel ready to confess something, then let us pray for you and lift you up. We want to be a place that is real with each other, that doesn't condemn, but that holds each other up, that builds one another up. And if this morning your first step is simply to receive Christ, if you've never called out to Him as your Savior, then come forward and say, I need to become a believer. I need to become a receiver. I not only want to believe in God, I want Him in my life. I want His Holy Spirit in my life. Believe and receive. Come forward and let us pray for you. After you've spent that time drawing close to Him and listening to His voice and yielding to Him, then let us remember what He did for us and come to one of the communion stations and take a piece of bread, a symbol of the body of Christ broken for us. Dip it in the cup, a symbol of the blood that He shed to forgive us of our sins. And as we eat of it and drink of it, let us remember that He went on the cross so that we can live now for Him. He took our sins upon Himself so that we can live free lives now, giving love and hope to the world around us. So over these next few moments, listen to God's voice. Respond to Him. Repent if you need to. Confess to Him. Believe and receive. And let one of us know so we can pray for you. God has so much He wants to do through us. He's just waiting for us to be available. God, move in our midst now, I pray. Draw us close to You. Transform our hearts. I ask all these things in Your name, I pray. Get out of your seat and respond as you feel led. God, move among us now, I pray. Amen. Amen.